Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. And today's daf is daf Chav Dalid. To get back into the flow, let's return to Chav Gimel Amud Beis. On Chav Gimel Amud Beis, we saw that there was a machlokas and a braisa. The pasuk says, "V'lavash hakoyim midovad imichnas evad yolbashal b'saro ve'irim esadesh nisher tochal ha'esh." Essa ola la mizbeach v'samo etzel la mizbeach. The Torah says that the Kohen wears a shirt of linen and a pants of linen, and he does Trumas Hadeshen. And he takes off some ash, he puts it next to the mizbeach, and then it says, ufashatis begadav, he'll take off his garments. V'lavash begadam acherim, and wear new garments. V'hotzius Hadeshen l'michutz l'machneh l'makom tar, and take ash out of the camp to a holy place. So we saw in a braisa machlokas about this second pasuk, ufashad es begadav, lavash begadam acherim. Two ways to read that. Either ufashat es begadav, he has to take off the clean garments and wear worn out holy garments. That for the otzas hadeshan, he should be wearing worn out garments, as we saw, because the garments get dirty. And it's not respectful to have garments that are dirty for avoda. The idea of Rabbi Lezer was that the word acherim is not really referring to garments. The word acherim is really referring to vahotzi. Acherim vahotzi es hadeshen. Others are the ones who could do hotzah es hadeshen. Shuma es hadeshen, in theory, is done by kohanim who are kosher for avoda. But Hotzas Hadeshen, to take the ashes out of the city, can be done even by Baalei Mumin. That was an argument. Can Hotzas Hadeshen be done by Baalei Mumin? Or no, Hotzas Hadeshen has to be done by Kohanim who are not Baalei Mumin. But the Hotzas Hadeshen is to be done with worn out garments because the dirty activity shouldn't be done with the same set of garments as you're doing the respectable service. In the same way, you wouldn't want the guy who cooks in the kitchen and gets all dirty from the cooking to be the one who's mozig asakos, who serves the cup to the balabayas. So that's what we had seen in the Gemara. Let's start now. It's about the middle of the page here on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Kimachlokas behotza, the same way there's this argument about hotza sadashen, taking the ash out of the city, whether the pasuk is teaching you that to take out the ash, you wear big day kuhuna, the kohen wears big day kuhuna, but they can be worn out big day kuhuna, or that the pasuk is teaching that the taking out of the ash is done by a balmum, by a kohen who's blemished. Kimachlokas behotza, like the argument that there is in terms of taking out the ash, Kach machlokas ba'arama. According to Reish Lakish, the same argument exists in Trumas Hadeshen. So, not like what I said, but according to Reish Lakish, according to Belezer, the Trumas Hadeshen itself can be done by a balmum. It's not an avoda. However, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan said, no, machlokas botza, the argument between Rabbi Tanakam and Rabbi Belezer is in regards to taking the ash out of the city. Aval Baharama, but Trumas Hadeshen, Dibri Akol Avoda, everybody agrees that it's an Avoda. And since it's a service, it has to be done by Kohanim who are unblemished. Says the Gemara, my time with Reish Lakish. What's the Svara of Reish Lakish? Why does Reish Lakish hold that according to Belezer, the same way Hotzas Hadeshen can be done by a Balmum, Trumas Hadeshen, lifting up a little bit of ash in the morning, is also done by a Balmum? Amalachar Reish Lakish will tell you that the Svar of Belez is like this. If you're going to think that Trumas Hadeshen would be a service, is there such a thing as a service that can be done with a coin only wearing two garments? If we look at the verse about Trumas Hadeshen, the Torah only mentions two garments, the shirt and the pants. The coin wears his measure of linen, namely the shirt. And he'll wear pants. And lift up the ash and put it next to the mizbeach. So the Torah only talks about Trumas Hadeshen with two garments. So if he's wearing only two garments, must be it's not an avoda. Because if it would be an avoda, you'd have to wear four garments. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the very postulate. Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, Gali Rachmana Biksonis, right? If it's Rish Lakish says, if you're going to think it's an avoda, Yesh Lavoda Shekshir Bishnei Kalim, is there such a thing as a service kasher with only two garments? And Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, no, the Trumas Hadeshin is not done with two garments, it's done with four garments. He'll tell you, Gali Rachmana Biksonis Mikhtasai, the Torah reveals explicitly that he has to wear a shirt and pants. But he also has to wear a hat and a belt. So now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why did the Torah mention a shirt and pants? If the point is that it's a regular service and he wears all four garments, it just says he does the service with his garments on. Why mention he has to have a pants, he has to have a shirt? It's the Gemara, Maish Lahani. So ask the Gemara why these specified. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to teach you halachos. The fact that it said midovad is measure of linen is mido kimidasa. That tells you that the shirt has to fit him. He can't be wearing a shirt that's too long, that drags on the floor, or a shirt that's too short and it gets to his belly button. Has the shirt has to fit him. Michnas sevad, Torah says, in pants of linen. Look at the tiny for what we learned in a brayso. How do we know that the first thing that the kohen wears is the pants? He doesn't put on anything else first. It says, Michnas sevad, you'll bash al basaro, that he'll put. The verse says, and pants of linen he will wear on his flesh. In other words, before he put on the pants, it was just flesh. It was naked. And he puts on the pants. The pants are the first thing that he puts on. So to teach you these halachos, that a shirt has to fit in, that the pants has to be the first thing on, that's the Torah mentions these two. But really, the kohen doing Trumas Hadeshen, according to Rabbi Yochanan, also has the hat on, also has the belt on. He is doing a service, and he has to wear all four garments. And therefore, he's doing a service. It couldn't be done by a balbum, even according to Belezer, who allows a balbum to do Hotzah Hadeshen. And Reish Lakish, how does he learn these halachos? He's saying that the Torah mentions shirt and pants to say that he only has to wear a shirt and pants. So how does he learn the halacha that the shirt has to fit in, that the pants have to be the first thing he puts on? So he'll tell you, mido, since it says mido, kimidaso, that means that the shirt has to fit in. How does he know that? Midafki rachmana b'loshon mido, the Torah didn't just say he should have a shirt on. It says, "V'lava shakoyin midovad." The coin should wear his measure of material. Mido is measure; that means it has to fit him. That nothing should come before the pants. The pants are the first thing he puts on. That is me'al basaro nafka. That he learns from the fact that it says, al basaro, meaning that the extra words al basaro are to say that the clothing go, the pants go on his flesh. He's naked until he puts on the pants. Ema kitanai, suggests the Gemara, maybe this argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Trumas Hadeshen is an avoda, maybe that's an argument not just of Amoraim, but an argument of Tanaim. Ema kitanai. We learned the Pasuk says, again, the Pasuk said, V'lava shakoy midovad, v'michnei sevad yobash al basaro. So once it said al basaro, why does it say michnasevad? It could have just said v'lavash hakoyin midovad u'michnasevad al basaro, because the word v'lavash, the verb that he will wear, will apply to all these things. Why did it say both v'lavash hakoyin midovad and then again michnasevad yilbash al basaro? So al basaro. So why does it say ma'atam alom? What's it teaching by saying yilbash? Lavi mitznefes v'avni laharama. That the extra word yilbash is to teach that doing Trumas Hadeshen, not only does he wear pants and a shirt, he also wears a hat and a belt. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Tzavur Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Dosa, no, the word yilbash teaches me something else entirely. It's not talking about Trumas Hadeshen. It's teaching me he will wear, that Kohen Gadol we know normally wears eight garments, but on Yom Kippur when he goes into the holiest of holies, he wears four garments. And the Torah says, after he finishes the service of Yom Kippur, he'll leave the garments there. So that means he himself leaves it. He doesn't wear it again. But the fact that it says, Yilbash is the rabbis bigli kohen gadol b'yom kippurim, that the garments that the kohen gadol wore on Yom Kippur when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, k'sher on the kohen hedjo, they can be worn by a regular kohen in his service.
I don't see.
No, it already said al-basaro. Al-basaro is to teach me that that has to be the first thing he puts on. You can't wear anything before that. But why does it say yilbash now? The word yilbash, we have a machlokas here. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the word yilbash teaches me that he not only wears pants, he also wears a hat and a belt. And according to Rabbi Dosa, the word yilbash means that he can wear garments that the Kohen Gadol wore. But the Kohen Gadol wore, when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he also can wear. So Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Shtei Tshuvos Padavar. Number one, there are two problems Rebbe, with the idea of Rebbe Dosa, that a regular Kohen can wear the garments that a Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur. Chada, first of all, the Avnetu Shal Kohen Gadol Ozeo, Avnetu Shal Kohen Hedjel. The Kohen Gadol wears a belt of linen. But a regular Kohen doing service wears a belt of linen and wool. And second of all, it's a disgrace to the garments. The garments were used for the holiest of holies. They went into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Now they're going to be used for just regular service. Ella, so Rebbe says, another view, what do we learn from the word Yilbash? What do we learn from Yilbash? The Rabbi says, Shchakim. That's to teach me that you can even use as garments of Kahuna, garments that are worn out. They can't be torn, but they can be worn out. Aye, why did it say in regards to the Kohen Gadol v'nicham sham? He'll put the garments there. According to the Tanakhama, that's to say Shetun and Geniza. The garments have to go into Shemos. They have to be put away. They can't be used again because he doesn't use Yilbash to teach me that the regular Kohen can wear them because he holds a regular Kohen cannot wear them like Rabbi. However, Rabbi Doso holds that Ruyin Hela Kohen Hedjot, that the garments of the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur now a regular Kohen can wear. So V'nicham Sham, what is Matam Aloma V'nicham Sham? What does he use the V'nicham Sham? What does that teach us? Shloishtamish Ben Yom Kippurim Acher. The Kohen Gadol himself can't use it in another Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol has to use it only for this Yom Kippur. He can't use it in another Yom Kippur. All right. So again, the Braisa began by talking about Chumas Hadeshen and the word Yilbash in Chumas Hadeshen. There's an extra word Yilbash. So according to the first opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, the word Yilbash teaches that the Kohen doing Chumas Hadeshen not only wears pants and shirt, he also wears a hat and a belt. Then we had Rabbi Dosa who said, no, the word Yilbash and Chumas Hadeshen is teaching me that a Kohen can wear even garments that a Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur. Then the Brice went on, Rabbi said he didn't like that idea. He didn't like the idea that a regular Kohen can wear the garments that a Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara got into the psukim of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It says words V'yinicham Sham. So according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, V'yinicham Sham is saying that it has to go into Gniza, because he doesn't use Yilbash to say that those garments can be worn by a Kohen Hedjot. But according to Rabbi Dosa, who says from the word Yilbash that it said about Chumas Hadeshen, that it's teaching you really that the garments of a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can be worn by a regular Kohen. So what does it say V'yinicham Sham in regards to the garments of Yom Kippur? That's to say that the Kohen Gadol himself can't wear them next year. He only can wear them this year. Okay, that's the Braisa. The beginning of the Braisa is talking explicitly about Chumas Hadeshen. Rabbi Yehuda said in the beginning of the Braisa, from the word Yilbash we learn that even though the Pasuk only mentioned pants and shirt for the Chumas Hadeshen, but from the word Yilbash we learn that also the hat and the belt has to be worn and doing the Chumas Hadeshen. So the Gemara now says, my lav ba'kamifli, presumably this is the argument. Tamar savar avodahi. One opinion holds that Chumas Hadeshen is an avoda. So since it's an avoda, he has to wear four garments. He can't just wear two. So the word Yilbash is to teach. He has to wear also a hat and a belt. Umar Savar, but the one who said that the word Yilbash, that's written about Chumas Hadeshen, it's really teaching me that a regular Kohen can wear garments that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur and Kodesh HaKodashim. But it's not telling you about Chumas Hadeshen. It must be that he holds lav avoda. He holds like Rish Lakish. Chumas Hadeshen is not an avoda. And therefore, you don't need to wear a hat and a belt. The Kohen only has to wear pants and a shirt. The Rish Lakish holds, he only has to wear two kelim. Says the Gemara, no, the Kuli Alma Avodah. Maybe everybody agrees that Chumas Hadeshen is a service. And as a service, all four garments have to be worn. But V'hacha, but over here in this Braisa, about Kamifiki, the argument is just about the Psukim. Mar Savar, according to Yehuda, the first opinion holds, Tzricha Kraler Buye, I need the word Yilbash to teach me that the Kohen doing the Chumas Hadeshen has to have a hat and a belt on also, not just pants and shirt. Mar Savar, whereas Rabbi Dosa used Yilbash for something else, holds, Lo Tzarech Kraler Buye, I don't need a Pasuk to teach it to me. But it's simply logic, as Rashi says, Kevin the Gali Baksones Bad Kodesh, Amich Nasei Kodesh. Once the Torah says he has to have a shirt of holy linen and holy pants, Ashmina Davodahi, that's saying that it's a service. Therefore, Vayakula, therefore from the fact that you have to have a pants and a shirt, you already know they have to have also a hat and a belt because it's a service. So therefore, Kiyasa Kral or Buyim, and the Pasuk Yilbash is coming to include other things, the big day Yom Kippur Mas, it's coming to say you can even use the garments of Yom Kippur outside of Yom Kippur for the service of Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that completed that question of whether Trumas Hadeshim can be done by a Baal Mum. According to Reish Lakish, there is an opinion that says a Trumas Hadeshim can be done by a Baal Mum, because according to Reish Lakish, Trumas Hadeshim also is not really an Avoda, and there are opinions who disagree with that. Yeah, question. Right, but even for the next Yom Kippur, he couldn't use it.
Cannot.
Right, so apparently maybe there, you know, part of Kedusha is to feel like this is a... Right, that you're fully focused on something, there's a fleeting opportunity, and I have to take advantage as much as I can, and this is it. Boy, Rav Avin asked the following question. Shumas Hadeshin become, when the Kohen goes up to the top of the Mizbeach, and he takes off that coal that's burned through, the Mu'ukal, and he takes off that ash, and he drops it by the side of the Mizbeach, and it gets swallowed by the floor. How much ash does he have to take? So maybe we learn it from the word Shuma. We have the word Shuma in regards to Maaser Rishon. You have to give 10% of your produce to the Levi, and he has to then take 10% of that and give it to the Kohen. That's called Shumas Meiser. So maybe it's 1%. Maybe it's 1%. Just like there, it's 1 out of 100 in total. So maybe 1 out of 100 is the amount of ash that has to be taken off. It's a Shumas Hadeshen. Or Shumas Midyan Yalfin Alo. Maybe the learning is not 1%, but 0.2%. We know that when the Jewish people went to war against Midyan, so they captured a lot of things, and then 1 out of 500 was given as a Shuma to Hashem. The Gemara says it's actually neither of those sources. Tashma, come and hear where it is. What is the amount of Trumas Hadeshin? How much ash has to be taken off? The Tani Rebbe Torah Nebraisa. Ne'amar Kan Veheirim. It says over here, Veheirim. Ne'amar Lahalan. It says in regards to the Karban Mincha, Veheirim Imenu Bekumtso, that he has to take out of the flour with his fist, which is actually even half of a fist. It's 3 fingers worth of flour that he takes out and he puts into the fire. So, just like over there, the Veheirim is a fistful, 3 fingers worth. So too, Avkad Bekumtso. So too here it is a fistful. Just the amount that would fill his 3 fingers. Okay, that completes that issue about Trumas Hadeshen. Now a new issue about Trumas Hadeshen. We had a discussion of Trumas Hadeshen. Avoda, is it not Avoda? What about if a non-Kohen does it? Would that person get death? We know that there are certain actions, certain avodos, that if a non-Kohen does them, he gets death. What about Trumas Hadeshen? If a non-Kohen, for example, lights a menorah, he doesn't get death. In fact, he may even be allowed to light the menorah. He certainly doesn't get death. What happens if a non-Kohen throws the blood on the Mizbeach? Then he does get death. So what about Trumas Hadeshen? So I'm a Rav said like this. Arba avodos, there are 4 acts of service that Zohar, if a non-Kohen does them, Chayev, Alein, Misa, he gets death. Those 4 are Zrika, throwing the blood on the Mizbeach, Haktara, putting limbs into fires, putting the incense into the coals, Nisuch HaMayim, pouring the water as part of the Karban Tamid of Sukkos, pouring the water on the altar, V'Nisuch HaYayim, and pouring the wine onto the altar. So these 4 actions, if a Zohar does them, he'll get death. But Rav did not mention Trumas Hadeshen. Levi Amar, Levi said, no, after Trumas Hadeshen, even Trumas Hadeshen, if a non-Kohen does them, he gets death. V'chein Tani Levi Masnisei, Levi learned it, Levi taught it as a Braisa, so it's before Levi and Rav, before the Tanaim, before the Amoraim, and the Tanaim also said this. After Trumas Hadeshen also, a Zohar who does it gets death. So my time at the Rav, what's the reasoning of Rav that he only mentioned Zrika, Haktara, Nisuch HaMayim, Nisuch HaYayin, he only mentions throwing the blood, putting the pieces into the fire, pouring the wine, pouring the oil into the altar, pipes. Because the pasuk says, Va'atu v'necha itcha, and you and your sons with you, Tishmeres Kuhuna Aschem, you should be watching your kuhuna, l'chol dvar mizbeach, for every matter of the altar, u'mi beis la'parochas, and that which is on the inside, on the parochas, Avadatem avodas v'avadatem, and you should do the service. Avodas matana etem es kuhun aschem. A service of gifts I've given your priesthood. V'azara karev yumas, and the stranger who comes close, he dies. So we learn from this pasuk, which talks about when there is an obligation of death for a non-Kohen doing the service. Avodas matana, a service which is a gift, like gifting the blood to God, symbolically of giving one's life over to God through the throwing of the blood on the corners of the Mizbeach, or gifting the offering to God by taking the pieces and throwing them into the fire, or gifting the water to God by pouring the water down the pipes or pouring the wine down the pipes. A service of a gift, of giving a gift. But not a service of removing. Not a service of removing ash, of taking something away. That doesn't have death. Then another thing, avadatem, and you'll do the service. And that word we learn, avadatem, is from the word, doesn't say just say avoda, it says avadatem. So avadatem sounds like avoda tama, complete service. Avoda tama, a service which is completing something. Avoda shi shachre avoda, not a service that has further service to go. So when a zar throws the blood on the altar, that's the last step with the blood. You throw the blood on the altar. So if a zar did that, that's avoda tama, that's the completing service, he would get death. But if a zar would, say, carry the blood, holacha, there's something that happens after the carrying, throwing the blood. The carrying of the blood is not avodah tamah, it's not a complete service, it's not a final service, there's something following. So there wouldn't be death. And Levi, who says that even though it says avodah smatana, even a service of removal, like Chumas Hadashim, would get death, because he'll tell you, Rabbi Rahmana, l'chol dvar mizbeach, since in this pasuk he had the phrase, l'chol dvar mizbeach, to every matter of the altar, that's to include even avodas siluk, a service of removing. And Rav will tell you, Ahulasu yeshev azol shevifnim v'shev mitzora. L'chol dvar mizbeach is to include even things that don't occur on the altar. L'chol dvar mizbeach, let's say the sprinkling of blood on the paroches, par helam davar shel tzibur, the par of the Kohen Gadol when he did a sin by mistake of avodah zara, he ruled that it was allowed or really wasn't allowed, or the par of Yom Kippur, or the oil, the log oil that's sprinkled for the mitzorah and the kodesh. How do we know that those things, if done by a zar, would get death? That's from the fact that it says l'chol dvar mizbeach. The Levi nafkalei, he learns that those things, even though they're not on the mizbeach, they would get death if they're done by a zar. Because it could have said dvar. Why did it say v'chol dvar? That's to include these things that are happening inside. And Rav will tell you that it should have said dvar, but why did it say v'chol dvar lo dar? She doesn't darshan. Okay, so bottom line, from the words avodas matana, Rav says avodas matana, not avodas siluk, that there is no death penalty if a zar does trumas hadeshen. Levi disagrees. Levi interprets l'chol dvar mizbeach to include avodas siluk. Ve'ima asks the Gemara, why don't we say l'chol dvar mizbeach is a klal, that's including everything. Avodas matana then, a service of a gift, is a prat, is a detail. And don't we have a rule, one of the rules of interpreting the text, klalu prat, when you have a general rule, then a particular detail, ein bachlal elamashe beprat, that's limiting the general rule to only the detail. And then we should say, avodas matana in, it would only be a death penalty for the service of avodas matana. Avodas siluk lo, there wouldn't be a death penalty for avodas siluk. Amar kra, the answer is that the pasuk says, now turn to Chav Zalat and Mibiz. Uli Mibiz la paroches. And then Vavaditem. Vavaditem. It said Uli Mibiz la paroches before the word Vavaditem. Again, if we read the whole pasuk, the pasuk was Vato Vanecha Yitcha Tishmu Esku Naschem Chol Dvar Mizbeach. Uli Mibiz la paroches. Vavaditem Avodas Matana. So we have this phrase, when we base la paroches, interrupting between the words avadetem with and avodas matana and the earlier words l'chol dvar mizbeach. You wanted to say it was a klal uprat. L'chol dvar mizbeach is the klal, and avodas matana is the prat. Yeah, but we have things in between. We have the words when we base la paroches, that's an interruption. Let's say it like this. El mi base la paroches. The services that are done inside on the paroches and past the paroches, who da avodas matana v'lo avodas siluk, those are the acts of service that only in avodas matana, only a service which is a gift, is has to be by kohanim and not a service of removal. Habachos, but that which is happening outside of the bayis, that which is happening out in the courtyard, afilu avodas siluk, even a service of removal also is included. So if that's the way Levi interprets it, asks the Gemara, Yaki, if that's the case, avadetem nami. So the word avod, avadetem, that we learn from it, avodah tamah, should also only apply to me base la parochas. Yachiv avada tamnami, only based la parochas, hu davoda tama. Only the services in the building would have to be final services. Lo avoda sheyesh achrei avoda. And not a service that has something to follow it. Habachut, but outside of the building, on the altar. Afilu avoda sheyesh achrei avoda. Even a service that has a subsequent service should also be included. And therefore, we should say that if a zar does holacha or a zar does kabbalah, he should get death, even though there's something to follow it. And so the Gemara, since it says va'av adetem, it's a va'av adetem, hadar arve kra, the pasuk with the va'av is again including it to what we had earlier of l'chol dvar mizbeach. It said earlier l'chol dvar mizbeach, which was to include the services that are outside. When it says vav adetem, it's mixing the word avoda tama to l'chol dvar mizbeach. However, avodas matana doesn't have the word vav, doesn't have a vav in front of it. Avodas matana, that only applies bifnim, but outside, avodas siluk also gets a death penalty. That's how Levi interprets the psukim. All right, a new question. Boy, Rabbi had a following question. Avodas siluk behechal mahu. What would the halacha be if a non-Kohen did a service of removal, but it wasn't the removal of the Trumas HaDeshen? He's removing something from the Heichal. Let's say he's removing the Deshen of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Maybe he's removing the worn-out wicks from the menorah. Do we say Lifnim Edamin Aleh? We compare it to all the other services done in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And there we said there is no obligation of avodas siluk. There's only an obligation for avodas matana. Or we compare it to the services that occur outside. Hadar pashte, then he resolved it. Since it says, since it didn't say mi beis la parochas, it says ula mi beis la parochas. That's to say that the heichal is like the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Heichal is like that which is past the Paroches. And therefore, just like on that which is past the Paroches, it's only Avodas Matana that would be a problem for a Zar to do, but Avodas Siluk not, and the Heichal also. If a Zar does a service of removal, he wouldn't get the death penalty. Or there's a linkage to it. Says the Gemara Lamach, if this is the case, that we say that in the Heichal there's Kedusha like Kodesh HaKodashim. Zar Shasidur Sashulchan Lechayiv. Why did Rav say that there are four services that if a Zar does, he gets death? There should also be a fifth. If a Zar arranges the showbread on the table, he should be getting death because that's also an Avodas Matana, a service of a gift. So Gemara says, yeah, it's a service of a gift, but it's not a final service. It's not Avad Etem. It doesn't have a completion to it. After you arrange the bread on the table, you still have to arrange the two ladles with the frankincense. Okay, so Sidur Bazichin Lichayiv. If a Zar puts the two ladles with the frankincense on the table, he should now be Chayiv. Well, that's also not a final service because you still have to remove the ladles and throw them into the fire. Zar Shasidur Samenor Lichayiv. Let a Zar, a non-Kohen who arranges the menorah, be Chayiv. No, that's not a final service because he can have seen as psila. You still have to put in the wicks. Not some psila l'chayiv. If he puts in the wicks, he should be chayiv. No, he can have seen as shaman. He still has to add the oil. Not some shaman l'chayiv. If he puts in the oil, he should be chayiv. He got luck. He still has to light the menorah. Hidlak l'chayiv. So, okay, if a czar lights the menorah, he should be chayiv. Death. Answer is hadlaka lava vodahu. Hadlaka is not considered an avoda. Not a service. Tosus explains. It's not a hard thing to do, right? You move the flame over, and then, right? Bahaloscha, achete shall have us olam yaleh. The flame rises on its own. You're not really doing anything. The flame is rising on its own, and therefore it's not an avoda. The Meiri says it's not an avoda because it's something intangible, just a flame.
Was there a guy who snuck in to try to do this, or how did he get even close to the Heichal?
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, how did he get in, right? He's a Yisrael. So they would bring the menorah out to him. They'd bring the menorah out. He would light it. and so then like bring it back.
The contractor was coming in to do work on the repairs.
Even not. If they brought the menorah out, the Kohen went in, the Kohen took the menorah out.
How's he getting in there?
They would take the shulchan out and put the bread on it, right? The Gemara says, Velo, is that really true that lighting is not an avoda? What about lighting the mizbeach? By the time we looked in a brisa, the pasuk says, "V'nasnu bnei Aaron akohanim eshel mizbeach v'orach veitzim ala esh." And the children of Aaron are to place the fire on the altar, and they have to arrange wood on the fire. Limin ala tzasas elisa. That teaches that the lighting of all the kindling twigs that have to make the fire going. Shalotei ala b'kohen kasher. That has to be done with a kohen who is kasher, but klishar is wearing the holy vessels. Answer the Gemara: Tzasas alisa avodahi, to light the twigs and light up the fire. That's a service. Hadlaka, but the lighting of the menorah, lavavodi, that's not a service. Elamiyat, if that's the case, zar shesider samaracha lichayev. So if there's a service in lighting the big bonfire on the altar, so if a non-kohen were to arrange the wood for the burning pyre, he should be chayev. The answer is, again, it's not a complete service. Hiko sider shnei gizrei etzim. You still have to add the final two logs. Okay, so sider shnei gizrei lichayev. After he lights the wood and he puts the final two logs on, now he should be chayev. He still has to put the limbs on. Now you're saying that if the Tzar adds the final two pieces of wood, he's not chayiv, but didn't Rav Asi say the name of Rav Yochanan that he is chayiv? So I says, okay, but please, there's a machloket about it. One holds that the wood service is completed by putting on the last two logs. So if the Tzar puts on the last two logs, he completed the service of the wood, he would get death, because he did avoda tama. But the other one holds avoda tama. He that the same way you have to put on the wood, you also have to put logs. You have to put on the limbs. The sidur is an obligation. It's all considered one service. If you just put on the logs, he hasn't yet completed the service. Tanya kavasi de Rav. We have a brisa like Rav that if a Tzar does Trumas Hadeshen, he does not get death, because it's Avodah Siluk, and even Bachutz, Avodah Siluk, if done by a Tzar, does not get death. It has to always be Avodah Smatana. But Tanya Kavasa de Levi, we have a Braisa like Levi, that if a Tzar does Trumas Hadeshen, he would get death. Tanya Kavasa de Rav, we have a Braisa like Rav, the Pasuk says, the Braisa says, Avodah Shazar Chayv Alei Misa, the acts of service that a Tzar deserves death for, Zrikas Dam, throwing the blood, Bein Lifnim, both on the Parochas, Bein Lifnaiv Lifnim, right? If a non-Kohen throws the blood on the Parochas, or he throws the blood past the Parochas, he throws the blood between the beams, the poles of the Aron, in Kodesh HaKadoshim, or Amaz HaBachatas HaOf, if he sprinkles the blood, he throws the blood of a bird which is a chatas, hamamatze, squeezes the blood of an ola sa'ov. Va'amakdir ba'ola sa'ov, if he offers an ola sa'ov. Va'amenasei shlosh lugin mayim, or if he pours the three lugin of water, or shlosh lugin yayin, or three lugin of wine. If he does any of these services, if a non-coin does it, he gets death. Tanei kavasit levi, we have a like levi. Avodo shazar chayav alein misa. The acts of avoda that if a non-kohen does, he would get death for. Hameir mesadeshen, if he removes the ash. The shevazo shebifnim, as well as the sprinklings that would happen on the parochas. The shebimitzora, or the sprinkling of a mitzora that happens on the parochas. That happens in the kodesh. And somebody who offers things onto the Mizbeach, Bein Davar Kasher, whether it's something which you're supposed to bring in, or Bein Davar Pasul, something where you shouldn't have done it, but if you did it, it gets accepted. In all of these cases, there is death. But here it does mention Trumas Hadeshen, whereas according to the other Brice, it didn't mention Trumas Hadeshen. All right, going back to the lotteries to choose people doing service. Ask Gemara, Lama Mufaisin, why do they do lotteries? So the Gemara, Lama Mufaisin, why do they do lotteries? We've already said to avoid machlokas. Lama Mufaisin, Mechosim Mufaisin, why do they do so many lotteries? Multiple lotteries. Do one lottery to choose every task of the day. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kedei Lahargish Kol Avoda, to make the whole, Kol Azara, to make the whole courtyard feeling the sounds of the people gathering, exciting, to give honor to Hashem. Shanem, as the pasuk says, Asher Yachtav Nam Tiksod, that together we will give a secret. Beis Elokim, in the house of our God, Nahalech Beragash, we will walk with trembling, with great excitement. All right, says the Gemara, another question. Ramem Mephaisim, what would the Kohanim be wearing when they did the lotteries to choose who gets to do which service? Rav Nachman Amar Bevigdei Chol, Rav Nachman says they're wearing weekday clothing. Rav Sheshet Amar Bevigdei Kodesh, they're wearing already the holy garments. Rav Nachman Amar Bevigdei Chol, Rav Nachman says they wear weekday clothing, Yamach Bevigdei Kodesh, because if they wear holy garments, there might be people who are disappointed that they don't get chosen. And Hikabali Zeros to Chamsi Vavdi. There are people who are, you know, ruffians who steal. They won't be chosen. They're going to run up and do it because they're already wearing the holy garments. But if they're wearing weekday garments, they're not going to go in weekday garments to do service. It's going to take time till they change into the holy garments. By then they'll calm down. No, they wear the holy garments. Because if you're going to say what you said, that they're wearing weekday garments, because they'd be so excited, they're the ones who are chosen, they might actually do the service while wearing the weekday garments. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at this point tomorrow.